Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things, Kelly. And to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. My name is Pam.
And I'm Jeremy. Thanks so much for being with us this week. We have a fun episode because we're doing something we've never done before, and that is we are bringing together the generations of Kelly fans. We put the call out for people that are in some various generations, like Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Z, and we said we want to get kind of like a generational roundtable together because we want to talk about the way that Kelly and her career and her music and her talk show world, how that all is viewed from different generations of fans, be it people that have been OG and with her since Idol to people who may have just discovered her in the last few years or so. So we're really excited to talk to our three guests today. It's going to be a good one, Pam.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we do get a little preview of that because you and I are different generations, but it's also like we hear each other talk all the time. I already know everything, like, you know, already know everything about each other. So I'm really excited to talk to three people that we don't know any of these people. And I'm very excited to meet new fans and get some other like outside perspective outside of you and I.
Yes. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We hope you guys will sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. And maybe even share your thoughts when we're all done on social, because we love to hear from people from all different generations.
We are so excited to welcome three brand new people to the podcast. We have Allie, Paul, and Eddie. What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
Hey, morning.
It's so excited to meet you all. Now, Eddie, first of all, got to give you a shout out because you're the one who wrote to us about this specific topic.
Yes.
And we just I don't know why we haven't done this, but I think it's a brilliant idea because, you know, Kelly's been around in the industry for over 20 years. And sometimes I forget that like her fan base is so vast, it's so big. And I think what's really cool that we're going to probably find out is everyone became a fan possibly from like different points, different reasons, different years, different moments in her career. So very excited to get to know you guys. This is awesome. And we have people from all over. Well, we have two people in the Northeast and we got someone in Canada.
Yes. So let's go around the room and introduce our various generations. We're going to start with our representative from Gen X. It's Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello. Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started here.
Well, my name is Paul. And as you said, I'm representing Gen X. Recently turned 50 in May.
Wait, when? When's your birthday?
May 25th.
I'm the week before you. I'm the 17th.
Yeah. So I've, as mentioned, I saw this post on the Instagram and was interested in the concept because as you mentioned, Pam, a lot of us have been fans since day one. But what I've seen over time is that there's a lot of new fans over the generations that have come through. So I'm an avid music fan, and I love your podcast. I listen to it every Tuesday.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. And outside of this, I work with young people with substance use and mental health challenges. And I also am a college professor. So I teach young people in college that are looking at working with others with substance use and mental health challenges.
Oh my God, that's so... Paul, we'll have to talk offline because I work at a nonprofit that's the same.
Yes.
So we'll have to talk about that. That's so awesome of you. Well, thank you so much for doing what you do and thanks for joining
us. For sure. Thank you.
Representing the millennials, it is Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am from Maine, originally from Massachusetts, but moved up to Maine. And I've been a fan of hers since the first episode of Idol. So many years, obviously. I used to be a preschool and pre-K teacher, but post-COVID, I moved into a different realm of work, and I'm now a patient care coordinator.
Well, I don't want to give away what Eddie's doing. I'm like, your eyes are all helping people. I freaking love it. Allie, we actually met you very quickly in Vegas.
Yes.
Because you were there for your birthday.
I was. It was a week after, but I took myself and my friend to Vegas for my 40th this summer.
And very you, cool. I remember you were like dressed to the nines. I remember I was like, this girl looks so fancy. And I was very envious of you.
Look, you're going to do it. Do
I was
it
like,
right.
I'm going across the country. I'm wearing sequins.
Yes. As you should.
Allie, thanks so much for being here. And then finally, the person who kind of gave us the idea for this entire episode, representing Gen Z, it's Eddie. Hey, Eddie.
Hey.
Good to see you. Tell us about yourself.
So I'm Eddie. I'm 19 years old. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm currently living in Boston for college. I'm a nursing student.
Love that.
And obviously, I'm like a newer Kelly fan. I wasn't even alive on the first day of Idol.
Oh, gosh.
I'm newer, yeah, but I love her. I was interested, like, in writing to you guys because I feel like most of the people that are on the podcast always say they're fans from the first day. Mm-hmm. So I want to give my perspective on, like, how I found it and, like, how I joined the community later than
the
first day. And I wasn't there since day one.
Yeah,
I really appreciate that because honestly, like it's kind of a, like a reality check for a lot of us because a lot of us are in, I mean, I don't want to speak for the four of us, but we're always like, oh yeah, like she's been around for this whole time and everyone knows her from Idol and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, she's done so much in the last 20 something years that there's a whole other new generation of fans that are coming in. And I honestly forget that exists. Not that exists, but it's like a thing.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to talk to you and find out like how on earth you heard of her. So we will get into that. But I think it's an amazing idea that you thought of this, and it's going to be cool hearing from I remember when I was 19 and I was a huge fan, but like it's been a minute. So I'm excited to hear what a fresh 19-year-old thinks of Kelly Clarkson.
On the tail of what Eddie was saying, we've also got an episode coming up soon where we are going to meet people who are new fans who have only just recently found Kelly Clarkson. So we're excited to talk to those people as well. But in the meantime, we are here for our generational roundtable episode. Paul, Allie, and Eddie are all going to be talking about how they found Kelly, sort of what was that aha moment when they decided that she was her, and so much more. So again, we are so excited for you guys to all be here. And I guess we're going to go wrap back around to Paul and start off with that very question. You know, tell us about, you know, the first time you sort of, you know, found Kelly, and what was that moment when you decided, okay, this is the artist that I really feel like I want to invest my time and energy into?
I think way back a little bit. I mean, I grew up back in the 80s where there was like Star Search and those type of shows where it was kind of this instant fame or instant celebrity. So I was familiar as well with Pop Idol. So the whole idea that someone would try out and win a contest and just completely have a recording career and status as a pop star was quite interesting, the concept of it. But I just always thought it would never have liftoff because there was a few shows around it, like Making the Band. We had O-Town.
Oh, yeah.
Canada, we had Sugar Jones. I want to give them a shout out. So, but American Idol, I was obviously hearing a lot around it. At that time, it wasn't so much internet. It was just more magazines and, you know, speaking about this concept. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. So when I watched it, I don't think at the time they had too many, but there was this idea that people would try out. And, you know, they were kind of made to be made fun of or fodder, which I was never interested in. And I remember seeing her audition with that, no offense, but that dreaded back jean dress that was made. But more importantly, it was when she sang, and she sang Madonna, that I'm a huge, huge fan of, which I was so impressed with. And just her personality, it just came across on the screen. And of course, throughout the weeks, like I would watch it and get invested as the rest of the world, it seemed, was America and Canada. But I was just blown away by her voice. So I think when it came down to the final 12, where she was really, at the time, I think she was saying she had laryngitis, but then would go seeing a Celine Dion song, which was also Canadian, which is great. I was just super impressed with her vocal ability. And again, I grew up in a time where I got to live through, you know, Celine, Mariah, Whitney, the trifecta of pop vocal goddesses.
Yeah.
And have been a fan of music. And no one really matched that, I would say. And I proudly say now, for me, Kelly is like in that top three tier with Whitney and Celine, of course.
Yeah,
I just feel over time her vocals are incredible, and I I think the world has slept on it for a long time. I know she had the peak with the Breakaway era, which was massive, but just vocally, I was just super impressed with her vocal range in that competition. And again, when she won, I didn't think it was going to be legit. So when Thankful came out, when A Moment Like This was a great big song, I was like, wow, this is impressive and it's gaining momentum. But again, when that Breakaway record came through and she was winning Grammys and really getting critical response and feedback she deserves, I thought, wow, she's legit. I've been a fan since the day one, but for me, it's the vocal ability. And we see on Kelly Oki, she can sing so many things. And I know you've talked about it on the show, but when she sings like John Waite, Missing You, and she blows it out of the water, it's phenomenal mm-hmm. to me. So for me, it's the vocal ability, because I don't think anyone in this current era matches that.
You are so well-spoken.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. You're not wrong. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Allie, what about you? Where was your sort of your origin story for Kelly?
You know, it's kind of funny. It's very similar to that. When this came out, I remember they had the Making the Band, as you mentioned, and they had just done, I think it was it Pop Star, where Eden's Crush or whatever yes. that, what you know, that, so I was like, okay, it's just going to be another one of those. And it was the summer between my freshman and sophomore year of college. So I was watching the auditions, but I wasn't really watching as, I was just like, oh, this is fun. But when she got out and sang Natural Woman, I was like, oh, that's a star right there. So that really piqued my attention for her. And I was just like, she seems so real, and just the way that she was on stage, like you could tell that she was very passionate about what she was doing, but she was also just being herself, which is something that really just spoke to me. And again, as you mentioned, the Celine Dion song, that was the one that was the kicker for me. You could tell she was not well that night. You could tell she was sick, and she went out there, and I have to say that was probably one of the better performances, because you could tell she was struggling, but she gave it her all, and it sounded phenomenal. I wish I could sound that way even on a good day. But it was really, it's just her personality. And just from the get-go, you could just tell that she loves what she's doing, and she knows who she was. And that was it for me.
Nice. And obviously, Eddie, you've got a different perspective, because like you said at the beginning, you weren't even born when American Idol happened. So what was your discovery moment?
Yeah, so like I don't remember the exact moment I like fell in, like became a super fan, but when I was younger, obviously like she would be on the radio like Stronger in those type of songs. I would like them, but I think the moment I like first was really introduced to her was me and my sister were really invested in the last season of Idol when she's saying Piece by Piece in the finale, and that's when I'm like, wow, like I really like her, like she's really good. But then I was still young, so I like didn't think too much of it. And I think when I really started like getting deep into her career and started really like exploring all her songs is when I got my license and started driving and listening to music a lot more. And that's when I like invested in all the albums and went into a deep dive. And I'm like, wow, like there's just something about her that just like spoke to me, like her music, and then her personality, obviously, just speaks to you. So I feel like that was my main introduction to her.
Yeah.
Ah, that's so cool. So American Idol, yes, in a sense, but not the American. Not the American Idol that most of us are thinking of.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a part of me that's a little jealous that you did get to find her so later in her career, because I can only imagine what that was like to say, wow, I really like this singer. And then you had like 6 or 7 albums that you could immediately just grab onto, and you had all this music that you could digest all at once. And there was just so much that was unheard. Whereas for the rest of us, we're sort of living as each album came out, and we had to go through the year or 2 year long spans where there was a drought and there was no new music. And then you finally got the new music and you got to experience the whole rollout of it. Whereas you just got it all at once. And I can imagine that being both exciting and a bit overwhelming at the same time.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still to this day finding new videos on YouTube and new things that I've never seen before. So it's always exciting to find new things.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I remember like when I started to really become a fan and like it was like early YouTube days, but there's nothing better than going down a rabbit hole of Kelly interviews and then you're just like,
Nope.
wait, it's been 3 hours and I'm still watching this, or like random performances from 2005. You're like, oh my God, this is great. So I can only imagine now in 2024 that you're still experiencing it. That must be so cool. Like you have
That's
like
amazing.
endless entertainment.
This.
Yeah, it's gotta be fun to sit there and find a video on YouTube and be like, oh, awesome, you know, something new to explore. Meanwhile, people like Pam and I'll even throw in Allie and Paul as well. Like we're sitting there going, like, have I seen this video? I feel like I've seen this. I kind of remember this, but I don't. Like I'll watch it anyway. I'll just
Did
watch
I
it.
watch this random interview from 2008?
Yeah.
All right, I'll watch it
Yes.
again. Why not? You know?
And then the suggestions after.
Yeah. Oh
Yep.
yeah.
It's like, if you like this, you might like this
Yeah.
one too. I'm like,
Yeah.
you're probably right.
Thank God YouTube like keeps track of like videos that you've actually watched before. I'm just like, okay, good. I don't need to watch that again. I've watched it at some point in my life. I have to say, you know, listening to your guys' stories, it kind of reminds me that I don't know if I've actually ever on the podcast told my story. I mean, I've talked about how, you know, I watched her on Idol and, you know, voted and all that stuff. And I knew from the beginning that I wanted to sort of follow her. But I think the moment that I actually thought, okay, she's it. She is the singer that I am now going to follow, wasn't until the very first time I ever saw her live. I saw her on the Independent Tour. And it was the tour that she did with Clay Aiken. And I remember it was a radio thing. Like it was me and another person from the air staff. We took a couple of contest winners. We drove in a limo like an hour and a half to the show. Watched the show. We put our winners in like the front row, and me and my friend were just, you know, somewhere else in the venue. And I remember driving back, and everybody else is like half asleep because it's a long drive back and, you know, they've had a long night. And I am just absolutely wide-eyed and wired, thinking to myself, I have got to see her again. That was unbelievable. And I remember getting up the next morning, coming to work, and the first thing I did was went on Ticketmaster and found the next closest show to me. You know, it was like 2 weeks away, and I bought tickets immediately. And then I found another friend. I'm like, you're going with me to the show because she's unbelievable. You've got to see this. And I think that was my moment where I was like, okay, yep, I'm all in. This is her. She's for real. She's got staying power. It's not just a talent show, flash in a pan thing. This is a career that we are seeing unfold in front of us.
I don't think I knew that. I don't know if I knew that story.
Yeah.
That's so it was really because I just assumed you were just like super fan from like day one.
Yeah, I mean, there was, because it feels like there was like being an Idol super fan when you watch the show and rooting for her. And then it's like, oh, she wins the show. Yay, good for her. The person I wanted to win won. And then you're like, okay, now what do I do with my life? You know, this TV show's over. And
Yeah.
so, I mean, obviously, you know, thankfully, they put out Moment Like This, you know, right after the show was over. So at least we had something to go off on. But then, you know, that show ended in September of 2002. We didn't get Thankful
Yeah.
for another like 6 months or so. So there was a long span of time where there was nothing from this Kelly Clarkson who
Yeah.
won this, you know, pop culture phenomenon TV show. But then, like, the minute the woman goes out on tour, I'm like, okay, yep, she's for real.
You know what? I find it interesting because the four of you all really gravitated towards her because you saw her, whether it was in person or on TV live. I don't have that experience. So like I didn't watch Idol because I was pretty young. But you know, I knew a Moment Like This, I knew Miss Independent, Low, I even knew Breakaway. It wasn't until I heard Since You've Been Gone on the radio that something altered my brain chemistry and it like set something off and I was like, I need to hear this again. I need to hear this again. And you know, like this I didn't have the Breakaway CD, you know, it wasn't out at the time. YouTube wasn't really a thing. Spotify and Apple Music were very much not a thing. So I was just like hooked to my radio. Be like, where can I hear it again? Where can I hear it again? You know? And I was just so obsessed. So I guess I became a stan. I hate using that word. Big fan off of a recording. But that kind of goes into my next question for you guys, because I think different generations may have different perspectives on this, just like either when you became a fan or just like what music is considered cool for your like age range. What do you think is her most popular song? Because we've asked this question to people in different countries and they all have different answers, but I'm curious about different ages. Like, so for me, I would say that Since You've Been Gone is her biggest song, but some people may not say that. So I'm just kind of curious. I don't know if you want to take like a minute, if anyone has an answer they want to shout out right now, but I'm curious what the room thinks.
I mean, I would agree with the Since You've Been Gone as well.
Okay.
Because again, that breakaway year, it was just like hit after hit after hit, which was phenomenal. But I think Since You've Been Gone was, I mean, obviously it was just voted on Rolling Stone, the number one pop song of like the last generation or something. Mm-hmm. Although they rated her quite low on the overall vocalist.
194.
About that. Weird. It's weird how that works.
Yeah, but I say Since You've Been Gone, but I know for me, like Since You've Been Gone is a great tune. And when I hear it live, like she can still wail. And when she performs it, but there's so much more to the catalog. Like,
oh, yes. Yeah.
As we all know, but I think my answer to that would definitely be Since You've Been Gone.
It was so wild for me because last weekend I was at the grocery store and Since You've Been Gone came on at the grocery store. And normally, under normal circumstances, in our group chat that Pam and I are in, if we ever hear Kelly out in the wild, one of us usually takes a video and it's just us wherever the hell we are listening to whatever the song was. But I didn't do it this particular time. And I just kind of, I think I was feeling my age at that point because I'm like, wow, my favorite singer's songs are played at the grocery store. it's like when you go to like a CVS or a Walgreens or like the doctor's office and the songs get played in there and you're just like, wow, I'm of a certain age.
I'm going to interrupt for 1 second. Literally last week, I was getting cavities filled, super fun. And they had like the Light FM station, which is basically like, I say this very nicely, it's like minivan music, soccer mom music.
Soft rock, yeah.
Yeah. And as I'm getting like the like needle in my mouth, their Stronger is playing. And I'm like, this is just ironic and fitting. And I don't know what to feel. But anyway, there's
it's
a story.
It's a great dentist
you.
Song, though.
It is a great dentist song. And I felt stronger. And I was a little numb, but yeah, I felt stronger walking out of there. Allie, what do you think?
I'd have to agree with the Since You've Been Gone, but I almost feel like Stronger. I feel like, especially that was more when they started doing the videos. I remember they had fans sending videos and for the dance and stuff. And that was more when, I'm going to age myself, technology was coming out more and like Instagram and all that stuff. And I feel like there was more, more going into it at that point. So I would say it's a tie between Stronger and Since You've Been Gone.
That's fair. Eddie, what about you? Like, what do you think among like your age demographic?
Oh, yeah, I would probably say Stronger Since You've Been Gone because like out of like me and everybody I know, I am the only person that's like loves Kelly Clarkson. So like when people are like, oh, Eddie, like who's your favorite singer? Like what music do you like? I'm like, oh, like Kelly Clarkson. Like, oh, is that like the girl that's in Since You've Been Gone? Like that's the awkward answer. Like that. So like I feel like all my friends know Since You've Been Gone. All my friends know Stronger. But then like you have some that know like Breakaway and Because of You and like those songs. But like I would say Since You've Been Gone and Stronger, all my friends like know without before like I talk about.
Dare I ask, do they think that Since You've Been Gone is like a classic?
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't know. Oh no, I feel like I wouldn't say a classic, but because it's definitely when they think of her, that's the first thing they think of.
Because I was like, there's like a classic rock station here in New York, and like they've started to play Green Day's like American Idiot, which came out in 2005. I'm like, that's not classic rock. It's not. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel very weird about aging.
Just wait until somebody uses the dreaded O word, where if you're listening to Kelly and somebody goes, are you listening to an oldies playlist? Meanwhile, I'm like, it's not Elvis or the Beatles. Like she's not that old. But then it's the funny thing is like, if I look at it, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, if I do the math, like the music that I was listening to 20, 25 years before that point in my life, it was stuff like that. And I'm like, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's when you start to really feel your age.
Yeah.
I'm going to a lot of shows this summer and a lot of them are like the 25th anniversary. So I'm going to Sarah McLachlan, Hootie and the Blowfish. So it's all of these like 25, 30 years ago in commemorative of their great big record or whatever it was at the time. So I just think, what is happening?
And Paul and I can definitely see eye to eye on this. It's really bad when the artists that you grew up on are now doing like reunion tours or like you said, like they're doing like, you know, 25th anniversary tours for records. Cause I know Alanis Morissette kind of did that whole thing for Jagged Little Pill. And I was like, wow, this is tough to handle. So when, you know, if Kelly ever decides to do the, you know, 25th anniversary of Breakaway, which sadly would happen this decade, is a little frightening to me.
It's wild. Eddie, I want to start with you. I have another question. So, because I also think this is going to be a very unique answer. What do you think Gen Z in general, and also yourself, like, what do you think is like, how do people think like they know Kelly? Like, do they know her from TV? Do they know her as a musician?
I would say more musicians. A lot of my friends are like, she has a talk show, she has a TV show. Like, I feel like a lot of people do not know she has a TV show. So I'd definitely say more music, but it's definitely through her like big, big, big hits. Like that you just hear, see like that, like our radio station will play like on throwback, like, you know what I mean? Like just like on a random like afternoon, they'll just play like a radio hit. I think those are the songs that most of the people I'm surrounded with know, and they know her from.
So not anything new.
No, definitely not. People like just making music, like people like all my friends, like no, they just like Kelly Clarkson. In like from my friends, Kelly Clarkson was like a 2000s artist that is like her ship is gone.
Yeah.
So like she's.
I caught what you were starting to say when you said that they were gonna play it on like a throwback Thursday.
Yeah, like I didn't know how to word that. Damn it. Like yeah.
Well, it's interesting though to see how like Gen Z views Kelly, and it was a great question from Pam, whether they see her as more of a talk show host or more as a musician.
And I was thinking like The Voice.
Well, yeah, or like a TV personality, really.
I feel like I've met a couple of fans that are probably around your age, maybe a few years older, and a lot of them are like, oh yeah, like I knew of her, but then like I became a really big fan when I watched like The Voice or something, or when I saw her on her talk show, and I'm like, wow, like it's just crazy like what people gravitate towards, but I love it so much.
For you, Allie, you know, I guess we could probably say in a way that Kelly is, I think she might be considered like an elder millennial. How do you think that the millennial generation views Kelly? I mean, do you feel like maybe the millennials feel a sense of ownership with Kelly?
I don't think so. I think it's really, when you're introduced to her, I think, as you were asking the other question, she is more on TV now than she is doing the music. Obviously, she has her Kelly-okies and stuff, and that's where I feel like a lot of people, especially at my job, say, like, did you see that they posted she sang this song? I'm like, of course I saw that. But I think that that's what she's being seen more for. I wouldn't say she's owned by the millennial, but I think we got more of, I mean, because she was the first one to win the show, obviously, and we got to watch the beginning of what she used to call the ghetto idol. But we got to see what all her hard work going from there all the way to, you know, doing headlining tours. And then, you know, that little time off, obviously, going into the TV world. And now she is more known for the other things. But I wouldn't say that she's owned specifically by the millennial.
Mm-hmm. You know, something I'm kind of thinking about right now, and I feel like the three of you may have like a different like quote unquote view of Kelly. Like I know for like Allie and I mean, so to speak, we're in the same generation, but yeah. I feel like Kelly is like our, I mean, she's a decade older than me, but like our peer, so to speak, you know what I mean? Like, whereas for Eddie, like she's like, I hate to use this Twitter language. She's mother. She's whatever. She's mother. I don't even know what I'm saying. And then I don't know for like, you know, Jeremy and Paul, like I would love to hear you guys, like she's younger than you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think just going back, like like I grew up in, I got like the golden age of divas. Like it was all at the same time. Whitney, Celine, Mariah. It was a big time, big, big time. But Whitney, for me, Whitney and Celine were like top tier. Not so much a Mariah fan. Mm-hmm. No offense to the Lambs. But again, when she came out, I think what she has done with her career is incredible. I think she's been able to navigate. Not only is the voice there, the voice is phenomenal, but just her personality comes out. Because there was a few times, like when she said she was going to be on The Voice as a judge, I was like, like that's kind of like at the time, some of those artists going in, it was almost to like revive careers. But when I saw her in that position, she was hysterically funny, was able to show a lot of emotions. And you can tell she was invested with what she was doing. And again, when the talk show was announced, again, I was like, oh, what's happening here? Like, who is managing this ship? But again, it's massive. Like that talk show is, I think, the most highest rated talk show. But even in that, it's genius. She does the Kelly-Oki piece, which Ali, you had mentioned. Those go viral almost all the time with what she's doing. So I think what's happened now is people are waking up to the vocal abilities of what this woman can do. I think, yeah, she had kind of the heyday per se, but I think she's done a great job in navigating that and having performances like the I Will Always Love You at the tribute she did a few years back. Like those are going viral. So you hear from people who are speaking about her vocal abilities, which I think people have really slept on. And I know that there's a lot of other pop gals that are around, but I think, if I can say, from my generation, so to speak, it's a big comparison when you're looking at, like, she sang Whitney the other, like last this week on Kelly-Oki. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Oh, it was incredible.
Pretty much. It was phenomenal. So I think the fact that she's able to have the guts to do that and do it well, that I think earns a lot of respect from, I think, our generation, because we kind of grew up with it at a time that was, you know, it was one banger after the other, so to speak. So
yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, Paul, because I mean, the 90s, especially, you know, I mean, you can even maybe say the early or the late 80s thrown in there as well. I mean, we did have like the early 80s. It was all about, or excuse me, the early 90s and really a lot of the 80s. It was all about Whitney. And then right there in the middle, at the beginning of the 90s and into the middle of the 90s, we were all Mariah. And then Celine started to come on in the mid to late 90s. And she really had a big moment at the end of the 90s. So we were very spoiled with incredible vocalists, and I would say that Kelly was very much like the heir apparent of those women. So they sort of, I hate this term, but like they walked so Kelly could run.
Absolutely.
And so it really was cool to see her be the next big vocalist in pop music out there. And not 100% sure where I'm trying to get with my point, but nonetheless, I keep coming back to Olivia Rodrigo, because I, as a fan of Kelly, you know, I'm just a couple of years older than Kelly. So for me, it's not a big deal to be a big fan of hers. You know, I don't feel out of place liking her because she's so close in age to me. Whereas I feel weird going and buying an Olivia Rodrigo record because she's, you know, in her early 20s. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm not supposed to like this. You know, this is not supposed to be my kind of music. But I see a lot of Kelly in Olivia. I mean, I'm not trying to compare like vocal styles or anything, but just career trajectories, like how big she's burning, like right out of the gate. I see some comparisons in the two artists, and I enjoy watching someone shine like she's doing. And so, I mean, not to say that I'm, you know, the biggest Olivia fan now, but nonetheless, I enjoy watching her kind of career because she does remind me in a few different ways with Kelly.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And I was going to say as well, just going back, see, you asked about what she's known for in terms of the songs, and all of us, you know, since you've been gone stronger, are the hits. Mm-hmm. But I always say that's scratching the surface what that woman can do vocally.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think now people are seeing when she's singing, like, again, I go back to the Kelly-Oki piece, because that every day, I always look at the list of what she's going to be performing, and I'm just blown away every time. So I think, again, using a term, she's getting her flowers, so to speak, because the vocal abilities, I feel, is unmatched. Maybe Ariana Grande, but Kelly, I think, as a vocalist, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I don't, preaching to the choir.
Paul, do you think that our generation hangs on to the American Idol part of her too much?
I would say that I think we know that from the start, but I think going back as well, what she did on that show, again, when she sang that Celine song, I Surrender, like it was phenomenal.
Oh,
verse, and it was unmatched. I mean, it was a strong season, but her vocals were unmatched, I felt, with others that were in and around that time. I think that's kind of the go-to, though. That's, I think our generation will always say, yeah, she was the first American Idol winner. But I always say, but look what she's done with that career, though, because how many American Idol, besides maybe Carrie Underwood, obviously Fantasia's having a moment, J-Hud is having, you know, she's vocally as well phenomenal. But I just think what she's, how she's navigated the career is phenomenal.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, Ali, I don't want to speak for you, but I know for me, like, I know that, she, I mean, I guess like among my friends, like, they'd be like, they know she came from Idol, but they were like, oh yeah, like, was she the first winner or was she like the second or third? Like, they don't even, I feel like a lot of people don't even remember the specifics. They just know she's from the show, but they probably know more just of her for her music straight up.
Same. Yeah, I feel the same way. And as you said earlier, the way that she navigated through winning, I mean, she could have been, the next day we would never hear from her again.
Oh yeah.
Some of the other people, I mean, some of the people that are doing the most with their careers actually didn't even win the show in general. But yeah, and I feel like the accessibility when she won compared to now, I mean, we can go on in the morning and watch her karaoke from the day before. Whereas when she won, there wasn't Facebook yet, or it was just being launched. YouTube was really not much of a thing at that point. So you would be on like MTV News or TRL, or I would watch E! News just to see what the interviews would be and where they were going with everything. And I think the accessibility now is so much better for her newer fans because they're getting so much content where we would actually have to go and go into the KC Express and go into the threads and chatting with everybody. And I remember going in between my courses and I'd be going back to my computer and just reading all the threads that were happening in between my classes, trying to catch up. But I feel like if you're becoming a fan now, you're very lucky because you just have a treasure trove of so much and you get to see all the different stages of where she's gone. And, you know, the My December series, where I will always say that's one of my favorites of hers, but going from there and just seeing where, I mean, that could have been it for her. Yeah. And she persevered through that and she released another album. And anyone who's entering fandom with her now is so lucky to have everything they have right now.
Well, that actually dovetails well into sort of the next line of questioning we have. And I think, Eddie, we'll start with you on this because Ali, you know, kind of was starting to get there. With you being a newer fan, did you find yourself like, do you just dive into the music and get into all the music stuff? Or did you go like online and try to find the message boards and all the YouTube videos and, you know, really kind of do the informational deep dive on her?
So definitely the music, but definitely YouTube videos. Like, I will watch Kelly Clarkson YouTube videos for hours. Like, I will sit in my dorm room and just watch videos on YouTube, like old videos, new videos, just like interviews, performances. It's just like, I love exploring, like finding new things I haven't seen before, or just things that like seem like a growth now. Like, oh, like from 2004, like I obviously wasn't alive in early 2004, like seeing YouTube interviews from that or performance from that, and then seeing her now and seeing like what current day is, it's just really cool to like go back and forth and like not living that and being like a fan in that moment, now being a super fan now and seeing the difference. It's really cool.
I'm gonna assume something. I mean, I know message boards exist now, but I'm assuming that like most Gen Zers are not looking on a message board for information.
No.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Yeah, I've never been on a message. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, but like, do you think you find out a lot of stuff now also like from Twitter? Because I find like that I was kind of like a hybrid, where like the very early of me being a fan, I would like go on different message boards and find out information, and I would also like meet new people on message boards, which sounds really shady, but like whatever. You know, talked and find other fans there. And then like once I got to like high school and Twitter became a thing, like Twitter's where I was, and that's where I got to like interact with a bunch of other fans and where I found out my news. So I'm kind of curious from all of you, like, where do you think like you've like over the years have found both like news and possibly other fans? Maybe you haven't, maybe you don't talk to other fans, and that's totally fine, but I'm just kind of curious, Eddie, what's been your experience?
I don't use Twitter. Like, I don't even have a Twitter account.
Good so for
I
you.
I don't use Twitter. I think it's mainly through Instagram, YouTube. I don't even want to say TikTok because it's all like, it's not, it's just like repost what you find on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just art, like if you just search online, but mainly I'd say definitely YouTube.
That's amazing.
I find most of the old interviews and old videos from.
I will say like, back in around, I don't know, maybe 2007, 2008, I remember there was a message board, as Allie mentioned, the Express. It's still there. It's still thriving. They used to have a offshoot website called KCE Media, where it was basically just like people would upload. Basically, it was like it was YouTube, but it was just like Kelly videos, and you have to download all these like QuickTime files on your computer.
Oh yeah,
that was my education when I was like middle school, high school. Like, so that was my YouTube, and then YouTube hit, and I found even more. But I understand you, Eddie. Like going and just spending hours, I'm like, oh my god, there's this performance and this interview and this and this, and you're like, oh my god, it's suddenly 2 a.m. and I'm like, oh crap, I gotta go to bed.
That's what I do.
It was so much fun going down that rabbit hole. And like, I mean, as Allie said before, like, you are in such a cool time. I mean, maybe I don't know if you feel that way because you also were not alive for some of it, but you also were in such a cool position, Eddie, because you get to like really get to absorb all of this stuff right now.
No, yeah, exactly. I feel like it's really cool. And then now she has her talk show. Like, if I became a fan in 2002 when she won Idol, like, there wasn't daily content of her. Like, I can open the Xfinity app on my computer and go watch her talk show if I want every day. I have something new of her if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Allie, what about you?
I mean, I remember when they used to have the actual Kelly Clarkson fan club website.
Yep.
And I was actually, when I was looking over some of the things that I've been listening to a lot of the older albums lately, and I remember the Addicted tour. They had this, and this is because I was on Ticketmaster 2 weeks ago. I remember that for her Addicted tour, the fan club had this option where you could buy the tickets through them. You would not know where you would sit, but you were guaranteed in the first 20 rows.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, I remember. And it was at the Tweeter Center in Mansfield, Mass. And I remember I was like, you know, I could just buy a ticket or I could roll the dice on this. And they were like, oh, it was guaranteed first 20 rows. I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. So I bought a ticket for me and my sister. And we ended up actually in the third row.
Wow.
Like, front and center for the show, and ticket prices were a lot cheaper back then. But I feel like there was more incentive with like the fan clubs. And I mean, I got to meet her because of the fan club, because they had a lottery that you could enter in and they would pick 10 or 15 names from it. And I kind of miss that aspect of the fandom now, because I feel like everything is obviously, and it's not any detriment to her, but it's the monetary side of things. And you can pay the $2,000 to sit at a bar stool if you wanted to, or do all that stuff. But
or to sit in the third row in Atlantic City.
Oh, gosh. Don't get me started.
I've already bought the ticket, and I've already, yep.
you are no, strong.
Not in the third row, though, because still paying Vegas back a little bit.
That's true. Like, I remember, like, you would pay like $30 for the fan club per year, which, like, I mean, it was for me, and I didn't really have any money when I was in high school, but I was like, okay, this is my investment. I'm investing.
Even when we went for the independent tour, I still have the ticket stub, and it was $45.
Oh my god!
And wow. The fees, and it actually shows on the ticket because you would get the mail to you still. The fees were $9.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I still have the ticket. It was $45 and a $9 service charge. And I'm just like, where am I ever going to see a show like this again?
No, like now it's like $150 service fee, basically.
Oh my gosh. There's some shows that the service fee costs more than the ticket.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So,
yeah.
I will vouch for Allie right here. That is my
there she is.
My independent tour ticket, $45 to see Kelly Clarkson in concert. Yep.
That's wild.
I have it right there.
Wild. Paul, what about you?
I bought the CD single, Before Your Love, A Moment Like This. And I think at that point, again, internet was just kind of, in terms of what was available, I think it was a lot of those fandoms that I think, Pam, you had mentioned, where people would upload those videos that I would start to watch and they would take forever to download.
Yes, yes.
And I think, and then there was one where she was with, it was a video that was out, I remember purchasing that at HMV way back in the day, but it was her with friends, and then they went camping, and she was recording Breakaway at the time. So
yep.
It was
yep,
that's just the, soon after
the Hazel Eyes
DVD.
Yes. So I remember purchasing that, and then sometimes CDs back then came with like CD-ROMs where you had access to some visuals and certain interviews. But now it's YouTube. Like YouTube is the greatest thing, because I will go back and watch like when she first won and she was on Fallon or Grammy performances, or even when she won the show itself. So I usually use a lot more YouTube these days. And then Twitter, of course, has a lot of fun random stuff that comes up, because I'm finding now like the generations after me are obviously so savvy and passionate about Kelly and what they post and what they find. There's a lot of great fun stuff on there. So
I have to say, and this is going to be a minute, so follow me here, but in a way I'm jealous, and I also feel bad for the older generations and the newer generations and how they find Kelly. Here's how I mean. When Kelly first started, it's 2002, there is no MySpace, Facebook, YouTube, there's nothing. So that's why we had to rely on the message boards. And Kelly's career sort of follows the line of the birth of social media. So we get the MySpace pages and Facebook, and eventually we get to YouTube. And we had to sort of grow in the fandom along with how social media grew. So we all met each other first on message boards, and then we moved over to MySpace, and then eventually Facebook and Twitter, and we had there were chat rooms in there as well at one point. And so we sort of grow as all of this stuff goes along. And at the same time, Kelly's web presence kind of grows as well. Like we were talking, somebody mentioned earlier that, you know, the official fan club was out there and you paid money per year. And we did, and Eddie, I'm sure you've probably heard us talk about on the show before, but we did all kinds of ridiculous things just to get meet and greets and tickets and all. I mean, we were singing into apps on our phones, and we were, you know, doing, you know, we were listening to real audio clips
for 2 hours a day to get points on celebrities.
Yeah. I mean, there was just all kinds of, but those were of the time, you know, those were the new hot thing. Like, oh, this is how people are now going to connect with artists. They're going to collect points, and we're going to make them listen to stuff and watch videos and all this. And nowadays, like, I think this is where the older generations are at an advantage, because we got to grow up with all this stuff, and we had all these really great opportunities where, you know, the fan club was allowed 30 people in a meet and greet at every single show. And then that went down to 10. And then it was like, what's a meet and greet? So, you know, as her career continued to sort of go forward, we sort of got used to a lot of niceties, and then we lost them as, you know, she got bigger and bigger and further and further into her career. That's where I kind of feel bad for the younger generations who are just now finding Kelly. Where I think that I'm a little jealous of them is that they do have this, and Allie put it really well, just this absolute treasure trove of information and content that's out there that they get to suck this all up immediately, and they get access to all this great stuff right away. And there is all the YouTube content and all the web content and even the podcast content. I mean, there are so many different avenues to get that stuff in, like you get it immediately. You don't have to wait like we all had to wait and trudge through the various iterations of the internet just to find Kelly and to be a fan. It almost feel like you had to really work to be a fan, because you had to find this stuff. nowadays you can be a fan and you can have everything just laid out right in front of you, and you just get your pick of the kind of content that you want to consume. This was a thought that was knocking around in my head from early on in this episode, and I feel like I had to get that out, because I'm what I'm trying to say really is that there is no like bad generation to like Kelly Clarkson, because we each have our own advantages and disadvantages.
And I think that kind of goes along with the, Jeremy, the last question on, we have other questions, but the last bullet point on our list about, you know, what part of Kelly's career are you sad that you missed out on? I have two answers for that. I feel like I'm sad that I missed it on the very beginning, like especially the breakaway era. Like I was around, but I was 12, so I couldn't like go up and like go to shows and stuff, but I could watch TV and listen to the radio, so I was able to, and I had access to the internet. But I missed out on like going and, you know, doing all the fun breakaway tour, breakaway era stuff. However, nowadays, I mean, I admittedly get overwhelmed by how much content we have. Mm-hmm. I admittedly can't watch the Kellyokes every single day. Like I have to kind of sit down and watch like the weeks of Kellyoke, like one at a time. And there's just so many, like all, with the talk show, there's so many interviews, and it's wonderful content, but it's almost overwhelming when you like, I work full time. I have responsibilities, you know? So it's weird. So I'm envious of people now who like can really take advantage of everything that's out there. Cause I am like, I sometimes panic. I'm like, oh my God, where do I start? Did I watch this clip? I don't know. Allie, do you have any thoughts on this?
I agree. Sometimes now, because I used to think I was pretty, hate using the term, up on all the information, but there'll be sometimes where I have to be honest, I don't get to see the show often because I am working, and to try to catch up on everything on it, I'm like, I'm still a fan, but I don't know all the interviews she's doing and everything, which is okay. Like you're not a fan. You're not a fan if you can't keep up with every single interview or everything she does. But sometimes I'll just go online and I'll be like, oh my gosh, there's so much that she's done in the past, like even just the last week. And I'm just like, I don't have time for all this right now, so we'll put that on the watch later list.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like a little overwhelming at times.
It is overwhelming.
I'm glad someone else can relate. Eddie, very curious to hear your answer about this, about like things you may have, you wish you were got to experience.
I'd definitely say probably the breakaway era, like her peak, like the biggest album, because obviously she was at her peak. Like now she's not, like you don't hear her new songs on the radio. You don't hear everybody like, oh, you just hear like Kelly Clarkson just dropped a new album. Like this Ariana Grande's dropped a new album. Everybody's talking about it. That's not happening with Kelly Clarkson when she dropped Chemistry. Like, so I'm probably sad that I missed out on like her being like the massive pop star that she was. Not that she's not anymore, but like her peak when everybody was talking about her.
Yeah.
She was getting all this promotion, all this spotlight, because Chemistry was the first album that I was like a massive fan, like really invested in her, that came out. So like when I didn't hear everybody talking about it, and then it was like I didn't hear mine on the radio all the time, or I didn't hear all these songs, I'm like, wow, like this is weird, because all these other pop stars and singers that my friends like, they all get this. They all get to hear their favorite singer be talked about on all these outlets and on the radio all the time. And I didn't get that. So I probably that.
And I hate to say it, but like I think a lot of it is like ageist towards like when pop stars get older and they're just, you know, like, I mean, even like, I'm going to use Beyonce as an example. Her and Kelly are around the same age. Like, obviously, like Beyonce's last two albums have done well commercially, but you're not hearing them, like the songs on the radio all the time. You're hearing like, I don't know, you're hearing Ariana, you're hearing like Doja Cat, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, which is like, there's nothing wrong with it, but it is a thing I'm noticing more just when people are getting older. They're not, even if their stuff is great and its stuff is relevant, like, and if their sound is what's out there right now, they're not getting the same love, and it really sucks. Mm. So I get what you're saying.
Paul, do you have a part that you feel like you missed out on?
Yes, and I'll tell you what it was. The Breakaway era. She did two shows here in Toronto at Massey Hall. I did not get tickets for either show. And I tried and tried. And again, it was trying to get those tickets was trying to, you know, pick the golden ticket, so to speak. And I didn't get tickets. I tried getting scalper tickets, no luck. But when she came around again with the My December tour, I got front row seats at the Air Canada Centre here in Toronto. She canceled that tour. And then I ended up getting, you were able to get an exchange for tickets. So I had front row seats in a 20,000 seat venue, which then turned into second last row at Massey Hall, which that was my first time seeing her, was the My December year. And I've seen her six times since, but I was gutted that I missed the Breakaway piece, because at that point she was massive. And it was getting those tickets, going back to me, I tried to get my niece tickets for Olivia Rodrigo this week, no dice.
Yeah.
So it was similar to that. But I feel I missed out on that tour, but in terms of kind of the stages of her career, I feel blessed that I've been able to see it all, which is great. And I do watch the show every day.
Good for
it's
you.
It's kind of my chill time in the evening, regardless of what guests that she's had on. But I will say, when Pink was on the show, I think I'm still trying to screw my head back on from that day. They're my two absolute favorites. So them vocally performing together, but just the interview and the connection was fantastic. And Alanis Morissette. So. Oh,
the Alanis one was so good. They were both amazing.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
I think, Pam, I would assume, is yours is the Breakaway era that you kind of wish you would have been more connected to?
I
feel bad, because I feel like I've been very spoiled. And again, being someone who was there from start to finish, and I saw multiple shows on the various Breakaway era tours. So I feel a little gluttonous when it comes to that. My thing is that it's not necessarily a show or anything that I missed out on. I think I'm sad that I did not join the passionate fan community earlier, because I didn't, you know, I wasn't active on message boards or anything like that right away. I don't think I really started posting to message boards until it was right before Breakaway was coming out. And I remember I had gotten an advanced copy of the album, and I remember taking my CD and I scanned like every page of it, even like the back of the CD and everything. And I sent it to Mike, who ran the website ultimatekc.com. That was another thing too, Eddie, like early on, like a bunch of us had fan websites. So in addition to like the message boards, you also had fans who actually built websites, and some of them had their own message boards attached to them, or they had, you know, news and information. So there was a lot of that kind of content that you could do. And Mike's page was one that had really high quality, like, pictures that you could download. And I'm like, well, I want to give somebody a scoop here and give them, you know, the entirety of the album early. And so I sent them off to him, and it was like right after that, because I wanted to see what people wanted to say about the album. And so that's like the first time I logged on to like the KCMB and the Express.
You leaked stuff. You leaked information, Jeremy.
I did. I leaked the album cover and the entire booklet and everything, like 2 weeks early. But yeah, that was the first time I went on there, and I realized that there was this whole community of people who knew each other, and there were, you know, these big names that are still, you know, names that a lot of us know very well in the community. And I wished that, I was like, man, where was I like in the last album cycle? Like, where was I when, you know, all these people were first meeting? I wish I had just jumped in earlier. And I think that was one of the reasons that made me really want to jump in full bore and like really be a huge fan, because I was trying to make up for lost time.
Yeah, that makes sense. We got one last question for you guys, and I want you to think about this both for like your personal preference, but also what you think like your generation would gravitate towards the most. So it can be a double answer. What kind of like genre/sound do you want from Kelly in the future? And it can be something that she's already done. It can be something completely new as well. I'll speak for myself personally. I really want that pop rock Breakaway sound again. Like, I would love it. But I feel like also a lot of people in my generation might be, they might be on board with that because it's like, but it's, I think they'd be on board with it because it's like nostalgia. So yeah. I don't know. Like, it's so hard to gauge like what's super popular right now because it also depends on like your taste in music. Like she could do some more like alt rock stuff. She could go do more of the R&B route. I don't know. But I feel like for millennials, the pop rock lane would be just nostalgic as hell. Like in line with like Pink, Avril, things like that.
Allie, let's start with you. What do you think?
I am 100% behind you, Pam.
It's the millennial thing.
The breakaway. Yeah. It's just, I mean, that her sound now, just to hear her older songs with her, I hate saying seasoned voice, but she sounds better now than she did when she recorded that. Mm-hmm. So to get those songs with her tone now would just be outstanding.
I fully agree. Fully agree.
Paul, what about you?
I would say I love the pop rock stuff. I think given where she's at in her career, the fact that she's just relocated to New York City. When I saw her this summer in Vegas, I was at the show where she sang stuff like that there, which of course she sang on Idol. Lucky. The fact that she sang that 20-ish years later and sounded so much better than what her original performance was. I would like to see her take the route of theater and live performance because she's got the Emmy, she's got the Grammy. So let's go for the Tony and go for the Oscar and wrap up the EGOT. But you know, she's, you know, when she did the Hamilton, it's Quiet Uptown. Like she, that's where I find that she thrives in. I think the pop rock stuff, there's elements of that on Chemistry, but I would like to see her switch gears and really go into the performance piece.
Like standards or Broadway or like theatrical, we'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. I really hope she does the Broadway deal.
Yeah.
Me too.
She hints at it.
I know. She's teasing us, but I'm like,
I would love to see
you're
that.
Here, but Kelly. You can do it.
Yeah. But I'd like to see her go that route and see how that goes for her. Cause I think she would do incredibly well with that.
Yeah. Eddie, your answer.
So I really like the heartbreaking, depressing music, like the Chemistry vibe. I love that type of music. And obviously I don't want her to make all like depressing music, but I like the storytelling and the meaning that you feel when you listen to it. So obviously I want her to make more type of that music, but also like the pop rock, like since you've got like those type of music that like make you feel like energetic. That type of music too. And then also a little bit of like Love So Soft, like that like type of feel, because that, I don't know, that song just so fun to sing and jam out to.
Yeah. So I feel like, you can completely correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like what's been really popular the last couple of years among like top 40 is like definitely more, because I feel like every couple of years like the kind of music landscape changes. Like sometimes it'll be pop rock that's really popular, then it's be like really heavy rap. I think the last couple of years has definitely been more on like the female R&B. I think that's just been like so heavy right now and so popular. Yeah. Do you, and I mean, Love So Soft is like a little bit of a stretch, but I mean more of like the Ariana kind of stuff. Like, do you think like you would like to hear that kind of direction? Like
a little bit. I kind of like how she's different than all like the modern day singers. Because like in my mind, I have like no sense of like, I don't know, like, and I was with my friend the other day. We were at the gym, and admittedly, I was listening to a whole lot of women at the gym. I'm like, oh, Ada, like you should listen to this. Like you should. She's like, what is this? Like what? Like what are you listening to? I'm like, this is like fun. So like, I don't have like any sense of what people like now. Like I was like, wait, this is kind of like fun and upbeat, like the type of like, but she's over there listening to like heavy rap music. So like, it's just like, and I don't think Kelly Clarkson's gonna make a rap album anytime soon. I hope not.
That like, would be fun though. Yeah.
I don't know how that would come across. So
I'm starting to get the feeling, Eddie, that you are what some of us older people call an old soul. You're kind
of, no, that's what I am. Absolutely. The old soul. I am the old soul.
Absolutely. I'm not.
I want to admire your wall behind you.
Oh yeah, my dorm room is Kelly Clarkson. It's like, it's insane. Hey. Like people walk in. Like, we had a room check, and my RA is like, what, like, are you like, what is this? Like, is this okay? Like, yeah.
I remember room checks. You had to like hide your candles, hide all the.
I had a Kelly Clarkson like prayer candle thing, and they took it from me. And I haven't gotten it back yet.
Oh,
like,
no.
I came back from break, and they're like, "Yeah, that's like it's gone now." I'm like, "Awesome."
You gotta hide that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even think it wasn't a candle; it was a decoration.
It was like candle. I remember the other thing that would go crazy was like tapestries. They were very popular in, yeah. in my school. They were a fire hazard. You have to take it down.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Anyway, well, this is not about how to navigate room chats in your dorm. Anyway,
notice nobody said country. Nobody mentioned a country album. I'm not saying we wouldn't be excited to like hear it and know what it is, but is it necessarily what a lot of people actually want?
I don't know if it's because we have like three East Coast people. I don't know if country music is that big in Canada.
No, I love country.
Okay.
Love.
I was like, I don't know if I can speak for us.
Well, just go back to the performance like she did recently with Brandi Clark.
Yeah.
And when she did the duet with Brandi Carlile, like, come on.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal. And the recent one with Teddy Swims.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That was so good.
Bam.
So
yeah.
Good.
So
I feel like personally, Kelly and Adele, like vocally, are very much one of the two best vocals, vocalists out there right now.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
For some reason, though, I just feel like, I don't know why Adele, I think, gets more credit. And maybe it's just because she's always putting out like these big vocally challenging songs. And Kelly, you know, it's kind of, she doesn't have to do the big vocal gymnastics in every song. She can just put out a great song. And maybe that's why she doesn't, I feel like, get as much credit as she really does deserve. She gets like an 8 on a scale of 10 for credit, but I still feel like she should be at a 10.
Oh,
yeah.
A 12.
Yeah.
Let's be real there. Paul, Allie, and Eddie, thank you guys so much for joining us. It was so great to meet all of you. Eddie, especially thank you for bringing this topic to us.
Yeah,
I think it was a really awesome idea. And I hope to meet you all guys down the road. And let's hope all of our dreams for future Kelly music come true.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you guys Thank so you. Much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Paul, Allie, and Eddie for being a part of our generational roundtable episode today. I know we didn't really cover like current topics of Kelly, but it's still nice to know that, you know, even though we can be separated by, like in the case of Paul and Eddie, I mean, they were separated by over 30 years.
Yeah.
And yet still having the same kind of passion and experience with being a Kelly fan is something that's just really cool to see.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. And guys, let us know like where you fall in the generational thing and, you know, what your experience are. Like, we'd love to hear your feedback. You can find us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Miss Into Podcast. If you listen on Spotify, please leave us a rating on the app. You can also leave comments on specific episodes. And also, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a rating and review. That'd be lovely. Next week, I think Jeremy alluded to this, we're going to be doing an episode that we're going to be talking to fans who just became a fan of Kelly's within the last like 5 years or so. So very excited for that. Yeah. Anything else to add?
I don't think so. This is a fun episode and I'm looking forward to next week already.
Me too. All right, guys, have a great week. Bye.
We'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.